evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, May 28, 2019. Sudanese workers go on strike to demand for a civilian-led government.
I don't care.
She says she does not care. Even if she is fired, she says it is a small tax for the country. There are people who have lost their lives. The job is nothing, she added.
And the demand for food in Juba is growing.
When we look around the whole of Juba, we can see many people, they like vegetables, but they're not grow local here. And if there are people who are growing the vegetables, not in that large scale, they just grow in a small place.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Sudanese workers launched a two-day nationwide strike today. An alliance of unions, professional organizations, and political parties called the strike to pressure the ruling military council to hand power to a civilian authority. Talks between the alliance and the military council, which took power in April coup, had been deadlocked for weeks. Jason Patenkin reports for VOA from Khartoum.
Chanting anti-government slogans, workers demanding an end to military rule lined up outside the upscale Al-Waha shopping center in downtown Khartoum. Our martyrs lost their lives. We can lose our jobs, they said, referring to the dozens of people killed since December in Sudan's revolution. Tuesday is the first day of a two-day nationwide strike, called by opposition leaders demanding Sudan's military junta hand the government to civilians. The junta took power in April following the ouster of longtime President Omar al-Bashir after months of street protests. Bashir had ruled for nearly 30 years and was accused of human rights abuses and corruption. Talks between protest leaders and the military council collapsed earlier this month after soldiers attacked peaceful demonstrators in the city, killing several and wounding hundreds. Leaders of the protest movement said they are escalating their actions to pressure the military to give up power. A teller at the Bank of Khartoum's Al-Wafa Mall branch, Idris Ibrahim, said the Sudanese people are growing impatient. He says they want a civilian government. The military council has had the country for almost 50 days now. We have had negotiations, but they do not seem to want to give us our civilian government. Only one group in the opposition alliance, the Umma Party, led by former Sudanese Prime Minister Sadiq al-Mahdi, refused to participate in the strike, but that seemed to have little effect. Around the nation, workers in various sectors posted photos of themselves on social media holding signs supporting the strike. Oil workers, dentists, sugar processing employees, cement factory workers, and veterinarians were some of the sectors involved. Numerous international flights to Sudan were also canceled as aviation employees threatened to strike. Ibrahim said the upper management of his bank was totally against the strike. A few steps away, his colleague Susanna Abdallah Hassan said she did not care what the bosses thought.
I don't care.
She says she does not care. Even if she is fired, she says it is a small tax for the country.
There are people who have lost their lives. The job is nothing, she added. Inside the mall, many shops remained open, but employees supported the strike by refusing to work. At a shop of the MTN mobile phone company, staff politely turned away any potential customers at the door, handing small pieces of paper explaining their support for the strike. At the Sena supermarket, employees lined shopping carts to block shoppers from entering. Throughout Khartoum, most businesses appeared shuttered. There were no reports of violence from protesters, but members of the military council earlier vowed to fire any striking government workers. Video circulated on social media Tuesday appeared to show uniformed security officers arresting staff of an electricity utility. Sudanese electricians had otherwise downed their tools, but said they would ensure power supply to necessary services such as hospitals. Sudan Professionals Association spokesman Amjad Farid condemns the alleged arrests, which he described as illegitimate. He said arrests of workers were a clear violation of their right of political freedom of association. Fareed said if the military does not hand power to civilians after the strike ends Wednesday, the opposition alliance will call for further civil disobedience. Jason Patinkin for VOA News, Khartoum.
Still in Khartoum, the vice president of a group calling itself the Sudan of the Future has been taking part in the mass sit-in outside the military headquarters in Khartoum for several weeks. Dawood Redwan is a political activist. He says it is possible to get the talks back on track if the military is willing to compromise on the leadership of a transitional government.
We still all like support the opposition groups, but just to be honest, they haven't been really transparent. We don't know like what is next. We don't know. There is just a lack of transparency. That is what most of the Sudanese people feel.
If I read between the lines, it sounds like you're saying that, you know, you're not all that pleased with the representation you're getting from the opposition parties either, that they're not coming to you and, you know, communicating and trying to spell out what they're asking for?
That is what the activists in the sitting area feel. You know, we do respect the efforts and every move that is being taken by the Sudanese Professional Association and the opposition groups. But on the last few days, we all feel like there is something missing because we used to be updated about all the difficulties that are facing them. But now it seems like there is a little bit of disagreement even among the opposition groups. We all agree that this government should be handed over to a civilian group. We all now agree on the transitional period, you know, 3 years of transitional period. And we all agree on many things, but it seems like there is a disagreement, obviously, between the political parties. Like the Sudanese Communist Party had just released a statement yesterday criticizing their colleagues within the same group, the Freedom and Change Forces. And also the Sudanese Congress Party also, they're doing the same. And I think the Military Council is taking this as an opportunity to grab more power because now they are acting as like the state officials. The vice president of the Military Council right now is participating in a summit representing Sudan. So he's just acting like Sudan's president, basically.
What is the summit that he's attending that you referred to?
It is an Arab summit, I believe.
Is your party represented in this Forces for the Declaration of Freedom and Change?
No, not the Sudan of the Future. We're not represented, even though we have been supporting the SPA and the Freedom and Change Declaration from the beginning. And also there are other groups, well-known groups, who are not part of the declaration that they're supporting, like the Sudan's Liberation Movement, led by Abdul Wahid Muhammad Nur, and also the SPLM North, led by Abdul Aziz Al-Hilu.
Are you demanding to be part of the, you know, have a voice on this negotiating group?
We have already met the Military Council, and we told them what we think and what it should be. Done. And we did send three letters to the Freedom and Change Declaration. They haven't responded back to us. And we want them to be more inclusive. We want them to really listen to the other voices. Yes, they are the majority, and yes, they led. You know, they were on the front line during the protests and everything, but they still have to consider also the other voices too.
What about this three-year transition? I understand the military still wants to lead that new body. Has there been any give or take on that issue, on that point?
Not really. And in this issue, I would blame the Military Council. And obviously, it seems like they are power hungry. And they're not serious on giving the civilian groups this government. They want it to be their majority on the Supreme Council, and they wanted to take more authorities And this cannot be accepted, because as Sudanese people, we want a civilian transitional government.
That's Redouane Dawood, vice president of a group calling itself the Sudan of the Future. He was speaking with my colleague Carol Van Damme from Khartoum. A South Sudanese company is venturing into greenhouse farming to meet the local demands for food in the capital, Juba. The manager of Juba Green Veg says his group is motivated by the desire among South Sudanese to be self-reliant. Ding Magot has the story for VOA from Juba.
A Juba Green Veg employee opens a large metal gate leading to four greenhouses in the Jebel Dinka area, about a 30-minute drive from the capital, Juba. The greenhouses are enclosed by a 10-foot brick wall. All those entering the greenhouses are required to disinfect their feet so that they do not infect the plants with germs from the outside. Juba Green Veg grows tomatoes, eggplants, cucumbers, green peppers and sukuma wiki or kale. Each vegetable is grown in a separate greenhouse. The vegetables are planted in long straight rows 2 feet apart. Long plastic pipes used to irrigate the farm run between the rows of vegetables in each tent house. General Manager Santino Malueth Achuil is overseeing Juba Green Veg's first season. He says he and his team want to make South Sudan food secure.
When we look around the whole of Juba, we can see many people, they like vegetables, but they're not grow local here. And if there are people who are growing the vegetables, not in that large scale. They just grow in a small place, and the market is growing, is big. And we can't imagine everything being brought from Uganda or Kenya. You bring even the small red pepper, you need to bring it from outside.
Achul says it will be a while before the company can turn a profit, because he's confident Green Veg will do well in a short time because vegetables are in high demand in Juba. He says most food consumed in Juba is imported from outside, but Achul believes South Sudanese can produce enough food, including fresh vegetables, to supply the local population, while at the same time creating job opportunities for the youth.
When we farm, we are going to be a food secure country. When we farm, there's no going to be hunger. There's no going to be more hunger. When we produce enough food, we will be able to export. Instead of us importing, and we have dollar issue, we have crisis everywhere, crisis in war, crisis in food, crisis in this. So I believe when we start farming, all the problem will be solved.
The vegetables are planted in straight rows about 2 feet apart to allow air to circulate. Long plastic pipes used to irrigate the farm between the rows of the vegetables in each tent house.
The overall importance of net house is you can utilize the small land that you have, and you can grow the much output. Like, let me say, if you are growing tomato, it is not like our local. Our local, you wait for rain to come one season a year, but here, season is 3 months. You grow season. 3 months season, you can grow 4 times a year.
Achul says the company plants high-quality seed and uses cow manure as fertilizer to ensure they reap high-quality vegetables. The company also transports black organic soil to the greenhouse to make sure the vegetables are chemical-free. But convincing consumers to buy locally produced vegetables is an uphill battle, according to Achul, because many South Sudanese prefer to eat imported food.
People are addicted to foreign things. They feel like when it is being brought from Uganda or from Kenya, it is the best quality. So, but we can tell them quality can be produced here. Even much better quality can be produced here in terms of chemical free, in terms of all other things.
Besides being completely organic, Achul says when people buy local, the food has no preservatives, unlike imported Ugandan or Kenyan products. Reverend James Bakrial conceived the idea of greenhouse farming in 2014, but it did not materialize because of the 5.5-year conflict. It was not until 2018 that Rial set up the greenhouses and hired employees. For VOA News, I'm Ding Magot in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, female students narrate the challenges of hygiene while going to school in South Sudan. That story is coming up right after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
do you think it's important for men to learn how to cook?
In the first place, let's say you stay alone, you don't have money, but you can get something to cook. Yeah, it's very important.
Africa, we have got our own roles, and also the ladies have got their own roles. But now, in this 21st century, we realize that what a man can do, a lady also can do on the other side. So it is good for a man or boys to learn how to cook at a very early stage.
In case when they are not with their wives, they are able to cook for themselves instead of going to spend money and buying food in the restaurant.
Can help you, for example, if your wife is sick or she's not there, you can cook for yourself and produce something for kids.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. It's time for our Tuesday health segment. And today we are talking about world menstrual hygiene. Some South Sudanese girls say they face challenges in managing their menstruation, a topic many communities still consider a taboo. Non-governmental workers and women rights activists in South Sudan say they are helping to raise awareness about the importance of good menstrual hygiene. Winnie Chirino has more for VOA from Juba.
16-year-old Theresa Owet, a pupil at Yenet Primary School in Juba's Munuki suburb, says she started menstruating when she was 12 years old. She says she usually misses school whenever her periods start.
I'm fearing just to come to school, because if I could come, maybe I think that this thing will come out from my clothes.
16-year-old Nyaneda Fala, another pupil at Unit Primary School, says when she got her first period, she says she was scared and thought she was sick until her mother explained that menstruation is normal and every woman experiences it. Fala says she will not allow her periods to distract her from her studies.
Sometimes it comes just with pain. Then sometimes I will cry because the thing is paining. My waist will start paining. I usually come to school. Even though I'm having menstruation period, I will come to school. Because even though it comes, just I will come to school like that.
16-year-old Edna Robert at Unit Primary says the school does not provide bathrooms or changing rooms for girls. She says that has to change.
Provide for us, like always, to build for us latrines. When the period comes, then you will go there. You will take a shower, then you will change.
Gloria Albert Pitia led a group of five friends who donated sanitary towels, underwear and soap to female students at Unit Primary School. Pitia says she decided to start supporting young girls because of her own personal challenges as a young girl in primary school.
I didn't know anything. I don't have the knowledge. I cannot talk to my parents and all that. So I went through challenges of which I took a part and I cut it into two, and then the cotton started coming out. So for me, this day, it's very important. It's very special that we educate the young girls because the topic is a taboo in our community.
Pitia says she wants to break the silence on menstruation and make people understand that it is a normal biological change that happens in every girl's life. She says many South Sudanese girls miss out on school because of the stigma associated to menstruation.
Pads is considered as a luxury. Many people cannot afford to buy pads. So the change that I wanted to do is that this one should not be the first time, but it should continue. So I'm looking for sustainability of this, that we'll continue distributing pads for the girls so that we keep them in school, so that they don't miss school.
Gloria Modong, Executive Director for Titi, a local NGO in Juba supporting women and girls with sanitary napkins, says it's not unusual for South Sudanese to miss out on education for about 3 months due to lack of menstrual hygiene products, early marriage and poverty. She says her organization mentors about 1,000 adolescent girls to increase their self-esteem. She also says her NGO provides the things girls need to stay in school.
We're looking at making it more inclusive, whereby we're not just going to be distributing pads and soaps, but we are going forward, we will introduce the aspect of wash, whereby we'll construct bathrooms, and then there's what we call the men's The man says friendly toilets, which will be constructed to the girls in schools.
Modong says her organization also intends to promote tap drilling in schools for access to clean water. Menstrual Hygiene Day is an annual awareness day to highlight the importance of good menstrual hygiene management for women and girls worldwide. For VOA News, I am Winnie Serino in Juba.
World Menstrual Hygiene Day is a day that advocates for women and girls around the world talk about the challenges and cultural taboos around menstruation. Activists also promote access to sanitary pads and other products and empower girls and women with accurate information about sexual reproductive health. VOA's Adam Phillips reports on what one organization in Kenya is doing to help.
In Kenya, 2 out of 3 women and girls cannot use sanitary pads, either because they can't afford them or none are available. That's why Zana Africa has distributed them free to over 50,000 Kenyan schoolgirls since 2009. Allison Nakamura, the executive director of the Zana Africa Foundation, explains why sanitary pads are so important.
So one, if you're bleeding and can't control the blood, there's like a yuck factor to that, right? So you're staining your clothes. If you don't have access to clean running water, perhaps you can't, you know, then wash your clothes. If you have one school uniform or one pair of underpants, you might ruin those things and then your clothes are soiled. So it just really can't manage a very natural process, and that really interferes with your self-confidence and your dignity and your health overall.
Indeed, girls also need sanitary pads simply for hygiene.
If you don't have access to sanitary pads, you end up using, say, homemade materials like cloth or, in some cases, cotton that comes out of a mattress or a dirty rag, and then putting that in a part of your body that really shouldn't be exposed to germs, then, of course, could lead to infections or cause girls to kind of stay home and just really not fulfill their potential.
Along with menstrual products, Zana Africa distributes Nia Teen, a colorful magazine about health and life skills. Nia is the Swahili word for purpose.
So it's 5 issues, and it goes through reproductive health education, it goes through power dynamics, it goes through consent, it goes through friendship, career, really unpacking for girls all of the kind of joys and challenges of growing up, as we say.
Zana Africa also provides community mentors who visit school clubs and other small groups where sexuality, peer pressure, teen pregnancy, sexually transmitted diseases, and many other topics can be safely discussed. Joyce Mudia is the program coordinator in Kilifi on the Kenyan coast.
A safe space is a space where girls can express themselves. The questions they ask, regardless of their nature, can be responded to in an honest manner using factual information.
Mentors are trained not to impose their own values on the girls by telling them what they should or should not do. It takes work to remain neutral in a culture where elders are expected to advise and lead, and youth are expected to listen and obey. Mabuji says that Nia Teen groups examine gender stereotypes such as, for example, that girls should be passive in their relationships with boys and men.
Also, there's a topic on power. What is power? What does power mean to you? And what is the relationship of power and gender when it comes to relationship and to choices regarding what to do with their own bodies or their own lives?
Forced marriage and sexual violence are also addressed. The organization's staff believe that when girls and women are able to achieve their full potential, the entire community benefits. That's why Zana Africa works to bring everyone, parents, elders, educators, health professionals, policymakers, and boys into the conversation on Menstrual Hygiene Day and beyond. Adam Phillips, VOA News, New York.
Around 300 delegates, including President Salva Kiir, cabinet ministers from around the world, urban planners, and population experts, are attending the United Nations Habitat Assembly meeting this week in Nairobi. They are seeking better urban and sustainable planning to deal with the rising population as well as the effects of climate change. Sarah Kimani reports for VOA from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi.
At the inaugural United Nations Habitat Assembly, delegates put their heads together,
hoping to find solutions to make big cities more habitable. For Africa, urgent solutions will be needed. The United Nations estimates that nearly half of the continent's populations live in slums. The theme of the summit is innovation for a better quality life in cities and communities. UN Habitat Director for Africa, Naison Mutizo Mangaza, says innovation will be key in transforming the continent's urban areas.
We hope there will be a lot of ideas shared on innovations on how to plan our cities, how to manage them, how to do transport in a more imaginative way. For me, it would be how to grow African economies using urbanization as a tool.
The assembly is to be held every 4 years and comes as more people are living in urban areas than rural areas, posing a challenge for urban planners, according to Kenya's president, Uhuru Kenyatta.
Inadequate shelter and unsustainable human settlements remain a key challenge. And I therefore continue to urge member countries and partners to seize the opportunity during this UN Habitat Assembly to exchange ideas and best practices with a view of identifying practical solutions for improving our cities and human settlements.
At the end of the five-day summit, delegates plan to come up with a ministerial declaration with proposals on how to make cities more inclusive, safe, resilient, and sustainable by 2030. Maimuna Sharif is the director of UN Habitat.
It means that we collectively need to get our growth process and our urban growth process and our cities right to solve or mitigate these problems. This is important as some of these challenges do not recognize national or regional boundaries.
The UN Habitat Assembly will draw from the New Urban Agenda, a roadmap on urban development adopted by global leaders in 2016. Sarah Kimani for VOA News, Nairobi.
That report by Sarah Kimani, about 3,000 delegates meeting in Nairobi, including President Salva Kiir, brings us to the end of our show for this Tuesday. We now leave you with the song Inama by Diamond and Fally Ipupa.
Kama Dangote, naweza lijayo msiki, naweza penda mtu yoyote, penzi sio somo, kasome kwa kitabu, penzi mefanya harmonize, fukuzishe mwarabu, penzi yoyoyo, imeleta kwa nangu vita, squeeze sio onu, naishia kuwa like Easter, hivo, so kupenda achana nani, nekupenda penda na nani. Mambo sesi ya yubada, emucheza ufurai, kama songi limekole.
Asa inama, wembo penda mungongo.
Go, 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 go.
Oya inama,
inama, baby.
Wasi penda mungongo,
mungongo.
Asa inama,
inama, baby.
Penda mungongo,
kama tungi limekosa.
Oya inama, wasi penda mungongo.
Tujula mure bana kanethengo, babizu baka lemba, kadoba jote mtule tango. Souviens-le kawapi, chérie, n'a pas allié. Damon yonso, rubela kanga, je t'aime. Baro baba te kao, baro baba te kao, n'a kole mette. Baro baba te kao, baro baba te kao, n'a kole mette. Chérie, n'a pas za kito, chérie, n'a pas za yelengito. Chérie, n'a pas za kito, chérie, n'a pas za yelengito.
We've been listening to two musical giants from Africa, Diamond and Fally Ipupa, with their song Inama. I'm John Tanza in Washington. We are glad you could be here. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Kiuno kifanye pedeli
Yonga, yonga kibasike Yonga.